You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Welcome back. This is Nightlight. I am Pete Schwabe. So great to have you with me on this Thursday night. Lots going on in Wisconsin. We got Cubs Brewers starting in about a half an hour, and we'll see what happens. Are you a baseball fan, Rob?
I am not.
Okay.
I didn't really grow up with it.
You're better off. I'm a Cubs fan. I think I'm in for disappointment tonight, but the Brewers are pretty hot. But we'll see what happens. Craig Anthony Kinnett on the stream. My guest is Rob Momartz. He is a children's book illustrator, comic book illustrator, does just amazing work. If you're watching on the stream, here's the cover of his book. I have to look at the title again. The Monstrous Adventures of Mummy Man and Waffles. Great title. And the art, put that up again, Con. It's just so great. It's just, look at that. That is just beautiful.
Thank you.
I have a few more. We'll show a few more of your pieces that you've done, and they're just they're great. But Craig says, Pete, I absolutely adore Rob and his illustrations. Everyone I've seen is so darn charming. What Matt Damon is to acting, Rob is to illustration and then some. Wow, that's a...
I paid Craig to write that.
I hope it didn't cost you too much. Yeah, Craig's a good guy. He's been on the show. Thank you, Craig. And I agree, based on what I've seen, no question. Sydney on the stream says, The Majestic, Matt Damon, had a voice-only feature. Very well done, Sydney. Thank you, sir. And Andy says that his previous text, he enjoyed The Dead of Winter with Emma Thompson. He said, it's a current movie that flew under the radar. Thank you, Andy. And Amanda, okay, here we go, Amanda Nimmer. And she's the one who introduced us.
Yes.
Rob. So Amanda says, my son Jack is watching and he loves the book series. Oh, great, Amanda. Hello, Jack. Hope you're having a great night. And this is great. I mean, you're some of the things you draw, Rob, like Con, I sent you those other two. Let's put those up. This is part of a Halloween series you did.
Yeah, that's me and my daughter when she was little.
I can relate to that. That's great.
She's a weird little kid.
That is dark. Like really colorful and beautiful and horrifying all at the same time. She looks like she's going to grab her dad's tongue or jugular.
I used to find Barbie dolls like laying around and she'd do these little dioramas or setups and they were always doing really bizarre things. It kind of creepy.
Here's another one. This one again is just beautiful but really scary.
Yeah.
That's grandma, I assume, a funeral.
It was
or wake.
They have a lot of different illustrators during the Halloween season on social media will do these drawing challenges, and then each day they'll have a drawing prompt. And I think that one was, this was from a few years ago, but it was something about a departed aunt or something like that.
And it's like her spirit. For those of you on the radio, I know this isn't a visual medium, but it's a woman in a casket, and her spirit is coming out of the casket, and she's grabbing these kids, and she's laughing. Like
bear
with a crazy
hugging
look.
Them, like
that's great.
The portrait in the background mirrors the
oh yeah.
Creepy.
It is very creepy. Is that stuff like what do you like to draw? Like you draw kids' books. So I would imagine it's at times you have to tone it down a little bit, or is that what you was that
yeah,
what your passion is?
I like stuff that kind of has like a little bit of an edge to it, like children's stuff that it has a little creepiness to it.
Yeah.
That's why I like these Mummy Man books because it's pretty innocent stories, but there's some pretty weird creatures. Like in the first book, there's a foot monster that has like 1,000 toes or something like that. And then this, the latest book, there's his name is escaping me, the Cthulhu guy. What is his name? He was a early, 20th century horror author.
Oh.
But there's a duck Thulu character in this that shows up at the end of the book that's kind of bizarre, a giant duck creature.
So do you feel like when you write these books, if you tend to lean towards the edgy, I applaud you for doing what you love, but they are kids' books. Are you limiting your audience, or are there enough people out there that don't care if their kids see stuff that's creepy?
That I'm not sure of, really. I mean, I know a lot of times I haven't really gotten any notes from anybody to, like, dial anything back. I try to keep things pretty lighthearted. But I just like that, the creepy edge.
It seems like there's a balance. Like, yeah, this is creepy, but it's not going to give a kid nightmares, maybe. Like, but maybe it will.
I know years ago for a small publisher, a children's book series that the two main characters, one was a raven and one was a squirrel. And when I did the first character designs for that, the publishers thought, they were like, these are a little kind of scary. You need to dial them back a little bit.
Yeah.
And then, but yeah.
And did you?
I did. When I look back at those pictures, I kind of laugh when I see them, but.
That's funny. So let me ask you this. I was thinking about this earlier when I was looking at your website. Is illustration AI proof? Because I'm sure AI can put out anything, but you really bring character to these characters through your drawing. And I don't know, would they have the nuance that a real human author could bring, or illustrator?
Well, there's some pretty, I mean, it's kind of easy. It's still slightly easy to pick out, like, the AI art. And I know there's a huge pushback from publishers with AI. Mm-hmm. I know that a lot of, like, the big publishers will not accept any sort of AI art. Okay. And I know recently, I can't remember exactly what happened, but there was at a comic convention, there was a guy that was selling AI art, and I think they escorted him out of the convention.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah.
Good.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, you know, stealing images from off the internet and create. I know some cartoonists that their work was stolen. Mm. And there's a guy, Mark Parisi, he does a comic series called Off the Mark, I believe it's someone took one of his dog comics and changed the dog breed slightly using AI, and it was posting it on some dog site or something like that. Mm. And he got wind of it, and, you know, it was a cease and desist type of thing.
Sheesh.
But yeah, it's kind of scary.
My guest is Rob Momartz. He is a children's book illustrator and a comic book illustrator and a graphic designer, and he does really impressive work here. We've just been looking at some of his stuff since he's been here in the studio. And I have to ask you, who are your favorite, or what were your favorite? You just talked about your daughter as a senior in high school. What books did you read your kids? What were your favorites?
Oh, we have so many children's books. God. Well, this being Halloween season, we have a huge collection of Halloween books at home, and my daughter's favorite book, she hasn't memorized, is the Jerry Seinfeld's Halloween book.
Oh, wow.
It was based off his Halloween bit that he did.
Yeah.
And but that one we read all the time. It came with a CD you could listen to also. Oh, nice. But yeah, all of the there's so many. I'm trying to think of any specific titles.
We like, in our house, we liked a book called Rattle Trap Car. I don't know if you ever heard about that, but we would, each one of us would read one of the parts, and it was like this rural country, and this car was like patched together and making all these funny sounds. And then one of my favorite books that we got was, before we had my son, was a book called Guess How Much I Love You with two bunny rabbits. And they're talking about, you know, will you always be there for me, Dad? Yep. And that kind of stuff.
It's a great book.
And if I saw it now, I'd probably weep openly. Yeah, but, you know, these books are so special when the kids are young.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, there's still a few books like that. Me and my wife were just talking about the Kissing Hand book. You ever see that with the raccoons?
Sure,
it's for kids that are starting, you know, at a school or
that's very leaving sweet,
for kindergarten or whatever. And that's another book that's still, it's, you know, kind of makes me tear up a little bit.
All of those, Goodnight Moon, like when I was a kid, and let me know who I would love to know who your influences were. My brother and I and my sister would all read these Peanuts books. We had like an encyclopedia of Charlie Brown books, and we would get lost in them. And do kids still do that? Like, as an illustrator, you know, and maybe it was different with your kids at home, but it sounds like you guys read a lot as opposed to watched TV. And we kind of did both.
We did both too. Yeah.
Yeah.
We had a nighttime ritual where we would read every night. Well, you know, I'd either read to both kids or with them together. But yeah, trying to think. I guess as far as like influences go, like that when I grew up, like cartoonists that I liked was like Sergio Aragonés, the guy from Mad Magazine.
Oh,
he
yeah,
did like
great,
all like
yeah.
the little his stuff used to be on. Remember in the 80s that Bloopers show?
Yeah,
the Dick Clark.
I love those. Yeah.
They animated his cartoons that were the in between.
Oh yeah,
gags
sure.
or whatever. But he was known for Mad Magazine, and but he had that really super detailed. He was a really quick artist, so he could scratch out all these really elaborate environments. But he did a comic series, and he's 86 or 87 years old now, still working.
Wow.
And he did a comic book for the past 40 years or so called Gru the Wanderer. So it's sort of like a take on Conan the Barbarian, but it's a funny medieval fantasy type barbarian story with dragons and fun stuff like that.
But did you grow up like reading? Like when I was a kid, I remember we would go to my grandma's cottage up north, and my older aunts and uncles had, it seemed like, thousands of like Archie comics.
Yes.
And I would get lost in those. Mm-hmm. I loved Archie comics. A lot of kids like superheroes. Aside from Mad Magazine, what did you gravitate to?
I read Archie too. I had all those little digest so books or whatever.
Betty or Veronica?
Probably Betty.
I think Betty too. Yeah. I liked that she was just a regular.
She's nice.
Veronica
Dunger.
Was rich and
kind of,
I was like
kind of high maintenance.
All right, we're on the same page there. That's serious breaking news here.
Yeah. as far as like comics go, I remember I always was attracted to the things that kind of scared me. Like I remember I had I bought an issue of Batman from like a campground store,
like a
general
shop
store
or something
like that.
Yeah,
at
I remember
campground.
Those, sure.
And I remember reading it and looking at the pictures and being like really creeped out by it. It was like took place in an insane asylum.
Oh, nice.
And it was these real like intense. And I remember telling my mom that, could you hide this from me? I don't want to look at it. I was like 5 or 6.
But
or
you were still
like
reading
that.
It.
Yeah, but it creeped me out. But then the Creepshow comic, I remember I would always get that. Remember the movie Creepshow?
Yeah, yeah, sure.
80s? They had a comic book that went along with it. And it was in the library. And I used to always check that out and read it. And it the pictures in it really scared me. I'd always get it every time I went to the library.
Didn't stop you. Yeah. Where can people find The Monstrous Adventures of Mummy Man and Waffles? And then you have a series too, I don't know if I'm saying this right, Qualdy, the cat?
Oh, Claude.
Claude. Okay.
Evil Alien Warlord Cat. There's actually 6 books. You can find those. Well, I know Lion's Mouth downtown here. You could find the Mummy Man books there.
Okay. Oh, nice.
Otherwise, they're pretty much available wherever books are sold. I mean, as far as like ordering them online.
That is Claude. Claude. I never would have guessed that.
Yeah.
That's kind of a cool spelling.
Mm-hmm.
Well, check these out. These are great. We'll ask you about some of those when we come back. We're going to do a really short break. And I want to ask you about your process when you get creative in your space when we come back too. So we'll do that. My guest is Rob Momartz. He is a comic book and children's book illustrator. And he likes the creepy stuff, folks. And what better time of year to have him on right now? This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba on the Civic Media Radio Network. Drums keep pounding a rhythm to the brain. La da 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 dee. La da 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 da. The grossest thought that supermodel holds.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started. Buddy, you're a boy,
make a big noise, playing in the street, gonna be a big man someday. You welcome back. I'm Pete Schwabba. This is Nightlight. We're in the home stretch here. Tomorrow night, folks, it's a bar band Friday night. Terry Barr will be here with some great music and some fun chat. And Conrad, you're part of a new show, The Sports. Tell us about that, because we've got a couple guests from that tomorrow.
Yeah, make the call. And,
make the call.
Yeah, we're joined by a couple Civic Media employees as well, Greg Gunderson and Parker Olson.
That'll be fun. That's tomorrow night on Nightlight. And Monday night, I'm excited. Jamie McShane will be here. Jamie's been on the show before. He's a good pal of mine. He is on the show Task right now on HBO. And he is the top dog bad guy. And he had a great scene last week where he, spoiler alert, killed someone. But there's only, when he's on Monday, there will only be one more episode of Task. So we're not going to say any names or spoilers, but please listen to that interview Monday. Jamie is a phenomenal actor, and he's always fun to have on the show. Right now, we have a few more minutes with our current guest, Rob Momartz here. He is a children's book and comic book illustrator, and he does really outstanding work. And you're like the, are you like the most buff children's author, would you say? What do you bench? You got a, what do you put up, 400? Conrad, look at this guy.
Yeah, buff.
No, I don't really bench. I don't have anybody to spot 80s, me. Right? So.
Well, you don't look like you're missing any workouts. And Conrad can bench 470. Was I off by 200 pounds?
Yeah.
All right.
But no, he does what? 275?
275.
That's
wow.
Pretty, that's pretty. That's,
How do you know that, Rob?
Because he said it, like I heard it last week.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. We were talking about that. Oh, thanks for listening. That's great. All right. So, you look like you could lift a house.
Oh,
and
thank
that
you.
Probably comes into play never when you're writing children's books, but it's. You could write a superhero character based on yourself. All right. So tell us about your process, Rob. Like, you sit down, do you draw every day? Do you lock yourself off, or do you like a coffee shop atmosphere? What is your creative process?
Yeah, it's kind of like a coffee shop atmosphere. I drink a lot of coffee during the day.
Okay.
So I kind of overdo it, but I have a weird schedule. As I get older, it's harder for me to stay up later, but I used to stay up wee hours of the night working. When I was working as a graphic designer full time, I'd stay up and work into the wee hours and then show up to work the next morning and be really tired and couldn't do that anymore. But now as I get older, it's tougher. But like I for my day job, as I work as an illustrator, so I work on all my work projects 9 to 5 or 8 to 5, and then at night, then I work on my personal stuff and freelance work. So
it's a long day. You need the coffee sometimes.
This stuff is you know, it's nice. It's like a hobby to me, but it's, you know, but when I'm under a tight deadline, then it's not so fun.
Let me ask you something. When you're doing this, because I used to go back and forth, like when I was writing more, I would love to pour a glass of whiskey and work. And then, you know, they say, write drunk, at it sober. I wasn't like drunk, but, or when you're on a low amount of sleep, can that help your creativity? Cause you get in kind of a weird place, or do you feel it's best to have a good night's sleep?
Well, it's best to have a good night's sleep. Like if, when I do get a decent amount of sleep, I feel really energetic in the morning and I'm a little more clear headed and I'm not as like, I get really easily distracted when I'm sleep deprived during the day.
Yeah.
So I get like antsy and I keep looking at my phone and looking at the horrible news that's going on all the time and, or checking little, you know, social media stuff or texting friends or whatever.
That'll take it out of you.
So, but when I find that I get a decent night's sleep, I feel a lot more like focused and zeroing in on my work, and the day goes a lot faster too.
It's definitely better for your health.
Yes.
Creatively, I wonder if there are people who prefer, pardon me, once in a while slipping into those zones or whatever. But do you have, you said you watch TV with your kids too, as well as read to them. Do you have favorite kids shows or movies that you liked watching with your kids?
Well, when my kids were little, I'm trying to think, we watched a lot of stuff. And it was fun showing them all these movies that I grew up with, cartoons.
Isn't that fun?
Holiday specials and things like that. Like when my kids were little, I introduced them to like Emmett Otter's Jug Band Christmas and the Muppet Family
Love
Christmas Family,
it.
Which you can only get pirated copies of now.
Really?
Because it's got like all the properties that Disney does not own, like Fraggle Rock and like Sesame Street and stuff like that. But I would introduce my kids to all the stuff that I grew up watching, and it was just kind of fun to see their reaction or what things they liked. I got at one time when my kids were little, I got them into the old obscure cartoon, Thundar the Barbarian, which was on in the early 80s. It's a really bizarre apocalyptic cartoon.
That.
It's weird. But, I remember we had like the entire, it was like one or two seasons or something on DVD, and we'd watch that, and the kids got into that. But
Yeah. That's cool. So I'm totally with you. When they reached that age, like I couldn't wait, you know, first it's like, I can't wait to show them The Sandlot. And obviously yeah. Toy Story is a kid's movie, but like, I couldn't wait to show my son Collateral with Tom Cruise and Jamie Foxx, you know, stuff like that. But, I'm going to ask you, we'll find out in just a second where you can buy Rob's stuff, you guys. But right now I'm going to close out with a couple texts here that we got on our question of the night. Your favorite Matt Damon movie? John from Madison says, Peter, way too many to pick from. Matt was great in Jersey Girl and Carlin was in it for a big bonus. Oh, yeah. But the Bournes are the best. Yeah, hard to argue with that, John. Thank you, sir. Bridget from the 818 says, Little Darlings and the Outsiders.
I looked this up. That's actually Matt Dillon.
You know what? We could have done the same question with Matt Dillon because he's got a great catalog as well. Sydney Politics on the stream says, any civic media station airing the game?
I believe WISS is right now.
Okay. Oshkosh. Sid, check that out. WISS. And then probably Racine? WRJN. Can you get it on the stream?
You can get it through the app. I'd say... recommend just going through the app and just kind of checking absolutely. Out. But WISS, I do believe.
All right. Very cool. So once again, Rob Momartz, thank you. Thank you to Matt Miller. Thank you for all your calls and texts. Check out Rob's books, the Monstrous Adventures of Mummy Man and Waffles, and then the Claude series. Did you bring Claude books?
I did not bring them.
No.
All right. Well, you Google Rob. Go to your website. Let's give us your website real quick. We got to wrap
it's
up.
It's robmomartz.com, RobbMomartz.
No one will ever remember that, but trust me, folks. He's worth a Google. This guy's amazing. And he benches 890. All right. Welcome back. You still have a few more minutes if you want to be part of the fun here tonight with our question of the night. How do you feel about the Curter Burger? 855-752-4842, 855-752. What did I say? 855-752-4842. 855-75-CIVIC. That's what I was looking for. We will get to some more of your texts in just a few minutes. Right now, we jump back in with our guest, Asher Brooks, who is a very funny comedian. Based in the Door County area and also one of the owners of the Firehouse Comedy Club. Asher, let's talk about a big show you got coming up here. I love how you guys do this because, you know, you do a show once a month, correct?
Yeah, we do shows once a month and we do them on off nights on Tuesdays because Door County, if y'all have ever come up and visited, and you should, please come up and visit with us. We love to have people up there. But the whole thing is service-based, right? So Saturday nights are bars and restaurants and theaters and trolleys, everything. And so when you get people coming up day after day after day, the people who actually live there, their nights off aren't Saturdays or Fridays.
Right.
Their nights off are Mondays and Tuesdays and Wednesdays. And that's when we do our shows. And it's allowed us to cultivate local folks that come up and appreciate our shows.
Yeah.
People who come back night after night. It's crazy. I've had people who've come from the very first show all the way to the latest one we did. We've been in operation for about a year and a half now. And it's great. It's like having a little birthday party every month and my friends show up and give me money to see me talk.
Let's talk about that. Okay. You've got a $15 cover charge. Very reasonable. Is there a drink minimum or is it just you pay and you're in?
You pay and you're in. It's not, I mean, don't tell anybody this, but it's not about scraping as much profit as possible. What I want to do with ticket prices is make enough money to pay the comics reasonably because we're on the thumb. We're out in the middle of nowhere. And especially Door County being so far out, if I'm bringing in like, you know, Reagan Nymela and Brian Wilkes, like I want to make sure that I can pay them for their gas and their time. Enough they could get a hotel if they wanted to stay for the night, although a lot of people just jet back home.
Okay.
But that's all I care about covering. And then alcohol costs, I mean, I want you to get drunk, but you know, I'm just making sure everybody has a good time. We try to be reasonable.
Reagan is very funny. I was looking at clips earlier today of her, and she's on your October, is it the 28th?
Yes, she's on the October 28th show. She's fantastic. Yeah. I had her up as a feature about a month and a half, 3 months ago, maybe. And I immediately rebooked her to bring her up as a headliner.
Oh, wow. Wow. That's great. That does not happen very often. That's exciting. Who else is on the show in October, Asher?
So it's going to be Brienne Wilt. I first caught sight of her when we were doing the Oshkosh's Funniest Competition. So she was one of the finalists. She did really well, went and played the Oshkosh Arena. So that was really great. I saw her. She did a great job. And then anytime I see somebody doing well, I always try and reach out to them and give them a spot just because, you know, it's great to try and recognize people's talent doing well. Yeah. I want to bring in people who are pillars in the comedy community, you know, people who've been around for a while. I always make sure to get them. But if I see somebody like new and exciting, I try and snag them. I want to meet them. I want to have them perform my room and hopefully learn something from them.
Do you put up, like, since it's on a Tuesday, you have a three comic show, I assume. Do you put any guest sets up, or local guys can or girls can go up and work out some stuff?
I've done guest spots before, but I don't know. I'm a little anal retentive. I come from a background in theater, so okay. Once I have a show locked in, I like to leave it as is. Yeah. So guest spots are definitely doable. And, you know, if somebody presents some time, like I had a guy named Jacob Wilson, I believe. He was on Wild and Out. He had done The Late Show with Stephen Colbert. He was in town. Texted me and oh, wow. You know, with credentials like that, I was like, my man, you can absolutely do a guest yeah. spot if you want to do a guest spot. But you know, if somebody's in town, they're close by and they've got a good clip to show off, I would love to put them up for a guest spot, but I don't want to invite people up such a long way if right. I'm only going to be able to pay them guest spot money as well. Sure. You know what I mean?
Sure.
I want to make sure I'm being a responsible booker.
All right. So tell us again how the club got its name, Asher, the Firehouse Comedy Club.
Well, Door County is built on the ashes of old Door County. So the building we're based out of is the old fire station for Door County. That's where all of the fire wagons were stored. And I do mean wagons, not trucks, yeah, fire wagons.
I love that.
The old boilers and everything. And so the building has been repurposed. We're up on the second floor. There is still the old fire pole in the building. You cannot use it. It is not good for you. But we've replaced it with an elevator. So it's still in the building. And the restaurant downstairs, Door County Fire Company, they're an amazing sponsor. They do a lot of great stuff. And it's great because people can come eat dinner down below and then come upstairs and we've got a full bar waiting for them.
It sounds like such a great experience. And I love that there's a comedy club in Sturgeon Bay. I go to Door County a lot. I love it there. How do you like it? Like, I know in the past when you've been on the show, you've told us how you ended up there. You could tell that again, but how do you like it based on where you're or compared to where you're from?
So I grew up in Valdosta, Georgia, which is the very bottom of the state of Georgia. Last place to use the bathroom before you hit Florida on the way to Disney World. Right. And if you do use our bathrooms, we do thank you for your business. But moving, I moved to Columbus for college. Columbus is a really big city in Georgia. Moving to Door County was a little bit like moving home. You know what I mean? It was very small. The people there all knew each other. I had to start saying good morning to people in Walmart again, which I did not enjoy. But Door County is a little bit like living in Disneyland, if that makes sense. Everything is okay. Beautiful and everything is unique and special. But you do live in Disneyland and you can only go on Space Mountain so many times. So, right. You know, the locals that live up here, when you see each other during the on season, it's a little bit like seeing another soldier in the trenches. You just kind of give them a little wave and then hunker down and keep moving. But in the winter, it's amazing because you have all these wonderful amenities and experiences. You got resorts with almost nobody in them. And so it becomes this really peaceful, quiet, gorgeous place. So I think it's fantastic. My wife has been taking gig work, so surely she doesn't like it very much. She keeps leaving me for 3 or 4 months at a time.
Oh, wow.
We actually really quite like it up here. And it is gorgeous. You know what I mean? We're so lucky to be able to walk outside and see water on three sides.
You're right, too. It's a place where I've been there in the summer, I've been there in the winter, and even in the spring, when it's not its prettiest, you find amazing deals, and it's like the world is your oyster when you're over there. So it's fun all four seasons, I think.
Absolutely.
So you're from the South. Do you tend to gravitate towards Southern comedians? How do you feel like about the Blue Collar Comedy Tour or some of these great comedians that have come out of the South?
Well, the blue collar people specifically, I have big, big memories of. So when I was growing up as a kid, they were some of the first comedians I was allowed to watch. Oh, so like John Pinette, I was allowed to watch because he was relatively clean. And then the blue collar guys weren't necessarily so clean, but they were, you could catch shows where they were.
Yeah.
And I remember listening to Ron White and Jeff Foxworthy and Bill Engvall and Larry the Cable Guy over and over and over again. And I think all of their comedy is very good. I remember Bill Engvall's story. Whenever I think about writing storytelling comedy, writing about him going parachuting for the first time, and he and his buddies brought the igloo they used as their college desk with them because it was full of beer. Like, those stories stick with me. And my grandfather, who not a big entertainment guy, really likes to sit on his lazy boy and watch hunting shows or be in a deer stand hunting. He took me to see Delta Force, the movie blue collar comedy guys funny. Did. And if you missed it, that's okay. Good I wouldn't you. Worry about it. but like he and I could connect over that, and we could watch that together. So I have huge, great memories of them. I don't know what they're up to now, I'll be honest with you. Yeah. I think that they're the best stuff is the stuff I remember from when I was a kid. I know Jeff Foxworthy, I think, is what riding that Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader money. So good for him.
I worked with him. I filled in. I was his producer for like a month. A friend of mine took a leave or something or had a medical thing. And I got to hang out with Jeff a little bit in the green room. And I remembered him from when I was a stand-up too, but very nice. All those guys. I worked with Larry the Cable Guy, Ron White. They were very nice. I don't think I ever talked, aside from Foxworthy, with them once they found that niche. And man, did they rake it in.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and that's got to be wonderful as a comic, because so much of your young years as a comic are finding your voice, finding what, you know, what demographic you speak to. And then those guys just to lock it in and just work. And then Larry the Cable Guy, wow, to get one role as Mater, as an animated car, and then just be like, wow, I don't have to work ever again.
That I get to. Insane. My kids loved that movie and loved Mater. And I'll just tell you, since you're here, Dan Whitney is Larry the Cable Guy. I met him when he was Dan Whitney. He got me into one of my favorite comedy clubs ever, the Milwaukee Comedy Cafe, because they loved him there. And we were at Zany's. There used to be a Zany's in Pheasant Run way out in the western burbs. And Dan and I were working together. He got me on the show. He takes out this yellow construction hat. And he goes, I'm trying this new character. Let me know what you think. And he puts it on and he walked up. And the bit was basically just him saying, hey, you order cable? And it got like a chuckle. And he gets up. He goes, what'd you think? I'm like, eh. Asher, within a year, he is selling out arenas with this character. I couldn't believe it. Very funny guy.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. People love to laugh at themselves. I can't tell you how many people, like growing up in the South, talk about Larry the Cable Guy as if he is related to them. They're like, because a lot of people don't know it's a character, and that's fine. That means it's a good character. It's a character so big, it's become its own thing. And how nice it must be for Dan Whitney to be able to go to the grocery store and not wear flannel and then just be able to be himself.
Right. Exactly.
But yeah, like people, my grandfather, again, would quote Larry the Cable Guy at me. In the colloquialism. So it's art imitating life, imitating art again. You know what I mean? Like Dan Whitney's making a character based around people who are like my grandfather. And my grandfather goes, yes, I will use that in my daily life.
I love that. That's so
absolutely
great.
I respect all those guys.
Yeah. They were good comics before they, and regardless of what you think of them individually, I mean, they were all pretty solid comics before they got together and they just found a great niche. Name a comedian, Asher, you'd love to have at your club if money were no object.
Oh, my gosh. If money were no object, I could talk about the people that are really killing right now. Like, I mean, there are people who are in the upper echelons, like Kevin Hart. I don't even know what watching Kevin Hart would be perform now would be like. What does he do when he comes to a club? You know what I mean? Right. Like, I can only picture Kevin Hart on a stage so large I can barely see him. Like, that's all I can think of when I think of him. But there are some folks that are like, there are some folks out in LA, like smaller comics. I say smaller, that's the wrong word, but like Gianmarco Cerezi, Ify Nwadiwe, people that are doing work over in LA, like the Dropout cast members, those guys, I would love to see them perform. And the thing is, because the plane ticket's just too expensive, I don't think we're ever going to see them. But I would love to bring them up. Even if my demographic didn't like it, I'd just sit in the front row just clapping like a seal. Just, oh, I'm so excited.
Make it a special event. Come on.
Absolutely.
All right. We got about 45 seconds or so left. What's better, being a comedian or a comedy club owner?
Being a comedian, being an owner is mostly putting up posters and sweating about ticket sales and then paying Facebook too much to advertise. Being a comedian is about writing jokes and drinking a little too much.
Oh, man. That's a great way to go out. Thank you, buddy, for being on the show tonight. Best of luck on the 28th. Check out the Firehouse Comedy Club, folks. Asher Brooks, thank you as always, my friend.
Thank you for inviting me, man. Y'all have a great rest of your day.
You too. All right. I always, when I have Asher on, I'm like, I got to get over there. I'm so curious as to what that place looks like. I've heard it's like just got a lot of charm. So I'll have to check that out one of these days. But tomorrow night on the show, folks, let's do this after. We'll do a break. We'll come back. We'll finish up with some texts. And I'll tell you who's on the show tomorrow night. You won't want to miss that one either, folks. It's Peach Wabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Charleston was once the rage. History has turned the page around.
Welcome back. It's been a fun show, Con.
That's true.
We got a little comedians on a little more often, I think.
Yeah.
My thanks to Jim Flanagan and Asher Brooks for being on the show tonight. Thank you for all your texts and calls. We're about to finish up some texts here in just a minute. Tomorrow night on the show, Sherry Stokoe will be here. She's a nutritionist and a dietitian who founded Wayless MD outside of Milwaukee. And I wanted to have Sherry on the show because a couple weeks ago, I read an article about a woman who lived to be 117 years old. And they kind of broke down in the article how she did it from a health standpoint. So I'll talk to Sherry about that tomorrow night. That'll be an interesting conversation. And then our pal Pete Van Dorn will be here in the second hour to talk fantasy football. I need serious help. I'm in one league. It's a league my son invited me to be in with his friends. I'm the only old guy. It's just him and all of his 20-year-old friends. And they're like, he's like, Dad, you got to update your roster. Like, he's getting mad at me. And I can't keep up. So Pete Van Dorn is the perfect guy to have here for that. That's another fun show tomorrow night. Going to the stream here, Sydney says, hello, it's me, Sydney Politics. They've developed a bromance, Sydney and Dave Kunish. Sydney says, I have had the Kurder Burger, and it is better than any barbecue in any part of the country that you can get or any other food there is. And then he says, what up, Dave? All right, well, maybe, Sydney, maybe you've inspired your pal Dave to try the Kurder Burger because he's seems like he's kind of on our side there. Alan on social media says, I'd rather eat a spagomlet, a reference to the Godfather of Green Bay. That was an ad-lib line by our pal Eric Price, a very funny and talented Milwaukee actor. Danny Wheels says, is it better than the KFC Double Down?
I don't know. I've never tried that either.
I've never tried that either. That looks like two chicken patties with, like, it's the bun. The two fried chicken patties are the bun. Okay. Con, you said I'll stay away. Jim Denny says, I love them, but one a year is all I can handle. That's sensible. Eric on social media says, not my favorite. Did not find it to be as decadent as it sounds. Kind of mid, actually. Do you understand that vernacular?
Yeah.
What does mid mean? I know, but explain to people.
You know, it's kind of just, it's all right.
Yeah.
It's so, so. Nothing special.
Stacy Sue on social media says, nope. One word answer about the Kurder Burger. And then let's go back to the text line here. Lori from Hayward says, Kurder Burger. Okay. I don't know if that's a yes or a no, but thank you, Lori. Tom from New Berlin, 414, says, Pete Love. Thank you, Tom. Back at you, buddy. Oh, there's Lori. We missed part of her text. She said, hey, Pete, had to look up what a Kurder Burger actually is. Saw the picture and decided if they would leave it off all those healthy veg, if they would leave off all those healthy vegetables and put on another burger patty, it might just be about perfect. Lori, I cannot argue with you. You're a woman of conviction, and that was very beautifully, eloquently written. Thank you for the text. Steady Eddie in the 608 says, Pete and Conrad, I think Culver should add a hot dog to the Kurder Burger and call it Culver's YOLO. Kurder and Frankfurter self-murder burger. I mean, Steady Eddie's got the floor after that one. For all the people that were pro-Kurder burger, I'd love to know where you feel, what you feel now after hearing from Steady Eddie. He says, I'd like a large order of crinkle cut fries and a chocolate shake with that, please. Steady Eddie. Thank you, buddy.
Now that's getting to about 3,000 calories.
Boy, he's the burger itself is 820. Let's say you throw a dog on there, that's another 200. You're at 1,000. Fries are what, 400 or 500?
And then the shake by itself is
custard shake,
I think like 1,000.
Oh my God. If that's all you eat that day, 2,500 calories, you probably keep the weight off.
Well, there's other factors than just calories.
Correct. Sodium. Bridget in the 818 says, does not sound good to me. Okay, Bridget, thank you for the text. She's on our side, Con. Tom from Monona says, I would like to try one, but haven't and probably won't. Tom was all over the map with that text. I would like to try one, but I haven't and probably won't. I don't know why that cracks me up so much. Try it, Tom. Report back. We'd love to hear what you have to say. Tom from New Berlin. This is about our duck pin bowling talk. He says, a score of 100 is good bowling. A 300 is overrated in bowling houses. I don't think that's true. 300 is like a perfect score, right?
It's a perfect game.
That's all strikes, Tom. But he says overrated in the bowling houses. I don't know. I'll defer to Tom. Barb from Waukesha on the 262 says, I never heard of this Kurter Burger, so I asked my 33-year-old son. He said he just had it for lunch and said it was good. All right. And then, of course, Chris Casper. I don't even know if I read his text. We just looked at his picture, but he says Dino chicken.
Dino.
It's Dino? Okay.
Like, yeah, the chicken nuggets are in the shape of a dinosaur.
Yeah, okay, that makes sense. I thought like Dino from the Flintstones. I don't know.
Yeah, the Flintstone vitamins.
Yeah.
Those are good.
Dino, yeah. It's like candy. Dino chicken nuggets for me. I mean the grandkids tonight. Actually, I think I did read that. Thank you, Chris. Good to hear from you, buddy. Did I get everything, Con?
Yeah.
Are we good? Caught up on text? Well, that was a show, man. That was fun. Tomorrow night, Sherry Stoka and Pete Van Doren, fantasy football, health talk. Sherry's the perfect guest to have on the next day after we do all this Kurter Burger stuff.
We should ask her if she's tried it.
Oh, done and done.
You know what we should do? We should both go to Culver's tomorrow, grab a Kurter Burger, and just house it while she's on.
We could do that, or we could bury it in the yard and see if anything on it changes over the course of a year.
I think something would.
Yeah, it's Culver's. I'm sure all the ingredients are natural, and really the worst thing on that for you health wise is the curd, because it's deep fried. But
and it's a whole patty.
it's a whole patty. I'd just like to be the guy in the kitchen on curd detail. You gotta
just
make them
dropping curd patties into the deep fryer.
John Murray double dog dared us, Con. We'll have to take him up on that. Hey, thanks for being part of the show tonight, folks. Loved your texts and calls. On behalf of the lovable producer, Conrad, good night, Wisconsin.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.